The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I would invite the children forward for the children's message.
I need some helpers this morning. Would you come stand right here? Yeah, you stand there. And you come stand here. And come help me. You stand right there. And you come stand here, okay? Now, the rest of you have to sit right there for a second. Turn around, look this way. Okay. I'm going to give you a quarter. You hold that. And I'm going to give you a dime. And I'm going to give you a nickel. And I'm going to give you a penny. Oh, man! Is that fair? No, I wasn't fair to you. Did they deserve it at all?
Yes.
They did? What did they do to earn that? What did you do to earn that? Nothing. You did nothing, and I gave you a quarter. And you a dime, you a nickel, and you a penny. And you say that's not fair.
It's not. She got a quarter, I got a penny. She got a dime. It's not fair. We should all get one.
For what? Did you do anything to earn it?
I listened.
Hey, that'll work. Well, did you listen to the words that Vicar Hans read about the people who went to work in the fields? The first ones got a whole day's worth of money, and the one that came at the very last hour got the same thing. Was that fair? Why? Okay, he told him it was fair. There you go. And that's exactly what this lesson was about. Jesus is saying that all of us, even you that got nothing, we're all the same in God's sight. And God loves all of us exactly the same. So when he comes back again, we'll all be treated the same. There won't be somebody getting a quarter and somebody just getting a penny. All of us who believe in Jesus Christ will be treated the same. Let's pray. Thank you, O Lord, for loving us so much that you sent your Son to give us eternal life. Amen. Now, they're just like you. Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a wonderful plant. It's the best plant. I cannot tell you how great this plant is. I really, really like this plant. Jonah had gone out into the country to watch the show. It's hard to get a feel for it, but the land near Nineveh is neither desert nor forest. And while there are some hills or mountains off in the distance, the semi-arid nature of the place meant that a large shade tree or bush would have been a welcome reprieve, though not a common sight. And who knows quite what Jonah had thatched together to make himself a hovel. But this plant or bush or tree, whatever you want to call it, this was much better. By all accounts, it would have had a trunk of some variety, something a person could sit at the base of and lean against to relax. And if it was, as is commonly thought, a castor bean plant, at its height, it could have provided plenty of shade throughout the course of the day. Because pouting and waiting for God to smite a whole city could take a long time if you had left all your traveling supplies in the belly of a fish. So Jonah sat there, waiting to see the destruction that God had promised visited upon the people of Nineveh. It must be noted that by the time Jonah had walked out of town and picked out his spot, the Lord had already acknowledged the repentance of the people of Nineveh and, as was his prerogative, had decided to grant them a reprieve. Jonah was displeased. And perhaps he thought that if he protested long enough, the Lord would reverse course on his pardon and would level Nineveh to the ground. Jonah had even picked out a spot to witness the occasion. We don't get the whole story here about how much Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh in the first place. But those of us familiar with the story probably have that in the back of our minds. And maybe, just maybe, we also have it somewhere in our memory that the people of Nineveh were not part of the Hebrew people. Though when Jonah finally made it there to proclaim their destruction, they did actually believe God. And God looks at Jonah, who, after a very roundabout journey, is sitting outside of town and is beginning to stew with anger, not only with God, but with the people of Nineveh for even listening to him in the first place. And in a melodramatic effort for the ages, Jonah basically says to God, "Why don't you just kill me now? Therefore, O Lord, take my life from me, I beseech thee, for it is better for me to die than to live." The Lord God of hosts, as it happens, in his having created us in the beginning and having interacted with us through the ages, is not unfamiliar with a temper tantrum, often made worse, as we all know, when it gets a little too hot outside. So God causes a tree to grow up over Jonah to grant him shade. And all the while, Jonah is still displeased with God, who, to Jonah's mind, is really just being too loving and too generous. But the shade did feel good. Very quickly, it seems, Jonah had forgotten how not comfortable he had been before the tree was there. And now, on the second day of his glowering vigil, he was about to be reminded of what things were like before God granted him a reprieve. When dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm which attacked the plant, so it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down upon the head of Jonah, so that he was faint. And in a continuation of his mood from the previous day, once again, Jonah's response to the Lord is another version of, "Why don't you just kill me now?" Sometimes, when you're in a bad mood, it's the little things that can cause that over-the-top reaction. And it was no different for Jonah. The plant. Why did you have to take that plant? I really liked that plant. Jonah was camped out, literally watching and hoping for the destruction of a city with 120,000 people. But the plant, not the staggering loss of life, was what he was upset about. Jonah had figured God for a generous God, and he really hadn't wanted to waste his time with those people in Nineveh anyways. They were, after all, not his people. And so, live or die, their lives were of less concern to him than a tree he once received an afternoon of shade under. It is an unfortunate truth that this is still a case in the church today. Though we may often tell ourselves to care about the stranger or the foreigner, both in our midst or across the world from us, all too often, we can demonstrate more concerns for the small things in our lives than for the very lives of people who look or talk or believe differently from us. I cannot tell you how many times I have heard derogatory comments inside church communities about people of different religions or races or nationalities or ethnicities, or who spoke a different language or who looked a little different, because I have lost count over the span of my few years on this earth. But God does care about the stranger or the foreigner, about those people whose skin is a different color, or who do not speak the same language, or who may not even worship Him. He cares about them when we are just not able to concern ourselves with their well-being. Because in the face of a people who would invest more care in fleeting things for which you did not labor, nor did you make grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night, God's mercy and grace are stunning. God sent Jonah to the people of Nineveh, and they believed God and repented, and they were spared. They were not the people with whom God had made His covenant. To God's chosen people, these were outsiders, foreigners in a strange land. But even then, their lives had value. And for this, we give thanks. Because in truth, we are all like the people of Nineveh. In the face of the Lord, we are outsiders, strangers and sinners whose way of life is totally foreign from what God has created us for. But He has not brought about our end. No. Instead, He has given us life in Him. Because if Jonah were to look at us and at Nineveh, he wouldn't see the difference. Only people who were receiving far more from God than they could ever ask for or deserve. And the people of Nineveh would not forget the Lord's reprieve and how He spared their lives in His great mercy. And sure, it would take them some time until, as a whole, they became followers of the Lord. But that is exactly what happened. Through the third and fourth centuries after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Assyrian people, the people whose historic home has always been Nineveh, which we now know as Mosul in northern Iraq, they were converted to Christianity, and they have remained faithful to the Lord ever since. Every year, the Christian churches which have descended among these people, these are churches you may have heard of, like the Syriac Orthodox or the Oriental Orthodox or the Chaldean Catholic churches. Every year they celebrate the supplication of the Ninevites, or the fast of Nineveh. Every year, they give thanks to God that their ancestors were spared so that they could eventually become believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jonah had no idea the kind of generosity that God was capable of. But we do, because we have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that our lives may be spared for all eternity. And that is far more important than anything else. Amen.